Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Rudy Obias, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. This is the first time we've had Rudy on. He is in no relation to Dr. Cole Obias, by the way. Spells the name totally different.
He spells it with an A, where I spell it with an O.
That's right. He has a couple other letters in there, I think. I think there's an X and a Q somewhere in there as well.
And I'm not a doctor.
You're not a doctor. I don't know if he is. I think he got his doctorate in, somewhere over the sea, maybe. You know, somewhere with a different country name. I don't know where he got his doctorate.
He got his doctorate in being sexy, is what to right. say.
Well, if they gave out doctorates for that, I'd have a PhD. Rudy, this is the first time you've been on the show. We've known each other for a while, but tell us where we can find you and what you do and where you're from and all that good stuff.
I'm from New York City, and I am associate film critic for GordonandTheWhale.com. Mm.
We've had Chase Whale on.
Yes, it's GordonandTheWhale.com is probably the most adorable movie website out there.
I've never heard it called that. Is it like, does it have these big giant eyes and these cuddly features?
I mean, it feels like a storybook, like a children's storybook. Like, this blog is just so adorable. Everyone affiliated with it is just so wonderful and upbeat and happy. And I'm so happy to be part of GordonandTheWhale.com.
Oh, good. Good. Wow. I've never heard it called that before. So
I'm coining it right now.
Next time I talk to Chase, I'll have to say, I hear you have such an adorable sight. And he'll be like, get away from me. Just drive on in your van with no windows. Quit talking to me. I'm not allowed. Anyways, if you want to get a hold of us at the show, you can find us at fatguysatthemovies.com, where we got this and various other sundry podcasts going on. Go to iTunes, search Fat Guys at the Movies, and I'll pop right up. Neil will be there somewhere. He shows up on iTunes more than he shows up on the show now.
Yeah, Neil hasn't been on the show in quite a bit.
Neil, I think, is still recovering from South by Southwest. You know, he lives in Austin, so So he doesn't get to go home. He has to just go back to his apartment, and he's probably still dealing with all the other, you know, all the indie rock chicks that are wandering around right now. Because aren't they doing the music festival now, or is that over
finally? I think it's over now. Okay. I mean, it's the film festival, and then soon after that, it's the music festival.
He's cleaning up the beer bottles. Let's just put it that way. He's cleaning up the beer bottles and trying to sweep the huddled hipsters out from underneath the corridors of his apartment building.
Yes, a lot of skinny jeans going on.
Yes. I would love, I think I want somebody to, I want to try some skinny jeans on, and I need somebody to videotape me doing
that.
Oh,
God.
Because that would be, I would look so bizarre in a skinny. I look weird enough anyways, because I gain all my weight in my belly. So I look pregnant. I tell people it was a hysterical pregnancy when my wife is pregnant. But I would look like a popsicle.
You would look like Humpty Dumpty.
I picture myself as like one of those giant suckers, those giant like little boy suckers, the kids in the, like when Chase Whale wears his little sailor outfit and eats a sucker like little kids in the 20s did, you know, for his adorable website. That sucker's what I look like with a beard. Anyways, you can catch us on Facebook at facebook.com/SGATM, FGATM, excuse me, for Fat Guys at the Movies. You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. No voicemails this week.
Oh, Rudy. Bummer.
I know. We actually had a wash of voicemails. We had a whole bunch of voicemails for the couple people leaving us voicemails the last couple weeks. Not this time.
So listeners out there, please call in.
Yeah, call in.
Kevin's getting lonely.
What gives? We have to have things to talk about. There's only two movies this week, which were marginally screened, I guess you could say. You had a chance to see one of them.
Yes, I got a chance to see Sucker Punch, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. And I wish I actually did see Diary of a Wimpy Kid, the sequel.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that's the first one we'll talk about. Neither of us have seen it, but it's Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules. Blah. The sequel to the 2010 family hit finds Greg and his weird group of friends trying to get along with his older brother.
I need a moment for a family meeting. Things between you two have really gotten out of hand. You need to get to know each other.
What?
You need to spend more time together.
What?
For every hour without fighting, you earn mom bucks, which you can trade in for real dollars.
This thing is a gold mine. Better not ruin it for me.
What are you doing here?
Mom said you'd pay mom bucks if I drove you home.
We'd rather walk.
Get in.
You two will stay here together and work out your differences.
Did you see the first one from last year?
No, I did not, but I know Steve Zahn was in it, and I was impressed that Steve Zahn was in this movie.
Wow. Is that your requirement for seeing a movie?
I love Steve Zahn. I will see practically anything with Steve Zahn in it.
I think Steve Zahn's a great guy and a great actor, but let's just put it this way. If you're saying, I'll see anything with Steve Zahn in it, you're going to be disappointed a lot.
I mean, he was great in That Thing You Do and Happy Texas, I believe the name of that movie was.
Yeah. Oh, he's been in some great stuff, but he's also been in stuff like Saving Silverman and Strange Wilderness.
And I was actually really surprised that I was like, wow, Steve Zahn was in this movie? And I missed it.
You're like, Steve Zahn, man. And you could say it like Steve Zahn. You'd be like, Steve Zahn, man. He's cool. I would love to see Steve Zahn like play Hamlet. I've said that before on the show, but I think it would be hilarious. To be or not to be, that's the question.
Like a semi-stoner.
Yeah. The Prince of Denmark eating a Danish at the time.
And he's like he's the father in Whippy Kid, which boggles my mind even more.
Yeah. And you know who the wife is? The mom is? Rachel Harris.
Oh, wow.
She's from Columbus. Woo. Columbus. She's hot. I never met her. Maggie, she went to school at the same high school as Maggie Grace, I think. Totally different classes, of course, because Maggie Grace is quite a bit younger than Rachel Harris.
Yeah, and she can play younger too. She was like 16 in Taken. Like,
yeah.
16-year-old in Taken, I remember.
Yeah, she's not a great actress, but she sort of, yeah, she does that little smiley giggly thing just to be like, the more I giggle and smile, the younger I'll look for Taken. But anyways, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, you would have seen it because of Steve Zahn, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
It's based on a book series, and they're cute books. And I can't say I've read them. I've kind of paged through them. My kids have them, and they're sort of these. There's a new sort of breed of writing where it's like sort of like picture books for kids in their like 8 or 9 or 10 or 11, where it's not a picture book, but it's like written out, and then they have like little drawings kind of sketched out on the side. Where so it's not like just a printed page. It's almost like a notebook. And this is one of those that kind of pioneered that. And there's a cute stories, and there it's a neat little sort of snapshot of what it'd be like in junior high or middle school. I thought the first one was cute, and my kids are dying to see this one, but they didn't screen it for us.
Bummer.
Yeah, I'll be checking it out probably sometime this weekend after the show goes live, and I'll take my kids. But unfortunately, because they didn't screen it for us, it gets a preemptive suck. That's the contractual obligation we have.
Just because they didn't screen it, preemptive suck.
Yeah, we say it has to suck. If they didn't screen it, they're trying to hide it from somebody. God knows who they're hiding this from, because it's like a movie for 10-year-old kids. Because none of them spend any time on the internet. Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple more movies. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the second segment. We talked about Diarrhea of a Wimpy Kid.
Which got a preemptive suck.
Got a preemptive suck. And here's the thing. This is what irritates me as a critic, as somebody who is afforded most of the time the chance to see these movies early. This is the kind of movie I'd like. I like kids' movies. And part of it's because I have kids. Part of it's because I remember what it was like to be a kid. Like, I remember seeing the movie Jumanji, and I was in college when I saw it, I'm like, wow, if I was 12, I would have loved that movie, you know?
Yeah, like a movie that came out a couple weeks ago, Mars Needs Moms. I kind of enjoyed that a little, thinking if I was a kid, I would love this movie.
Well, it was fun. I took my 7-year-old, and he really enjoyed it. But, you know, I mean, well, here's the thing. 7-year-olds are easy to please. They're not film critics, except for that creepy kid on the internet, who you've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
It was on, like, Today Show or something like that. Kids are very forgiving of movies. That's why you can release a movie like Furry Vengeance, and kids will go see it and like it. I don't know how many 10-year-olds are sitting there surfing the internet saying, I can't wait to see what happened. What's the early buzz on Diary of a Wimpy Kid? but I just wish they'd afford the critics a chance to see some of these movies, but it's Fox. Fox usually doesn't screen stuff, at least locally. And even now they didn't even screen it in Ohio, which is, I don't know. Maybe they didn't screen the first one. I think they may have screened it in Cleveland, but I had to wait till see it. Until after, because I didn't go up to Cleveland to see it.
Fox, you need to screen movies in Ohio.
Do you want to know what the last movie Fox screened in Ohio, I think, in Columbus, was?
X-Men.
It was...
One.
No, it was... Well, yeah. It was Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakle.
Ah.
They screened that, and then they screened The Tooth Fairy in Columbus, but I think the only reason they screened it in Tooth, because they were doing some hockey thing with the Blue Jackets, which is our hockey team. So they were somehow doing a cross promotion. So I don't think they were screening it. They were showing it. So they said, yeah, hey, Presh, if you want to come to this, you can. But yeah, it was that. And then before that, it was like Bride Wars. Fox does not have a good history of screening stuff in Columbus. So anyways, speaking of not screening, they did not screen Sucker Punch in Columbus. They're doing a Thursday night at 10:00 screening in Cleveland. They did that which I don't know. That worries me because, you know, I thought Sucker Punch. I was like, wow, I hope Sucker Punch is going to be good. But this is the other one we're going to talk about in this. Is this accurate? Tell me when we get back from the trailer. Tell me if I blurbed this right. A girl is put into asylum and finds escape through a virtual experience in her mind.
That's about right.
I'm going to escape from here. There's armed guards everywhere. And if Blue finds out, we're dead. We're already dead.
You're afraid, don't be. To reach your own paradise, just let go.
What you're imagining right now,
you control this world.
What are you looking for?
A way out.
I'm going to help you to be free.
You got a chance to see it.
Yeah, they screened it in New York City. They screen everything in New York City because...
I hear that New York City's slightly bigger than Columbus.
It's just slightly. Just slightly. It's only the biggest city in the universe.
In the universe? Like Beijing is just...
But I hear
on a planet Coosbane there might be a bigger city.
Well, I guess in the known universe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm a little biased.
Or you're Rudio bias.
Oh, exactly.
Oh.
But Sucker Punch was screened in New York, and I gotta say I actually kind of like Sucker Punch actually more than a lot of my New York City colleagues. I actually thought it was an actually fun movie.
Are they stuffy colleagues that you saw this with?
Yes, a lot of highbrow film critics in New York not really enjoying a film like Sucker Punch. But I thought it was visually stunning. Sure, the narrative isn't as clean as it should be, but it's a very ambitious film, and it's a lot of fun. I actually had a lot of fun while watching Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch, surprisingly. Wow.
I had heard an early review or her early comment about it that said sort of had a really good setup and start. Somebody described it as, you know, like a great day that then goes nowhere.
It's really ambitious. And for what Zack Snyder does with the story, it's pretty interesting. But I'm not going to say that it does hit that mark. I mean, it does fail in some regards narratively, but visually, just how he tells a story through visuals is just absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. There's very few filmmakers today that kind of have this understanding of cinema and what they could do with cinema without dialogue. And Zack Snyder hits it, you know, again and again and again throughout the whole course of this film.
Is it not very dialogue heavy? Is it mostly just Scott Glenn saying, I'm going to show you a map? That map will lead you to another map.
Well, I feel Zack Snyder is a smart enough guy to know that his strong suit is not dialogue. Okay. So there's dialogue in this film, but the dialogue is very silly. But he's smart enough to know that's not his strong suit, so he does stay away from the dialogue as much as possible to show a lot of gunplay and samurai swords and awesome steampunk zombie soldiers.
This does kind of have a feel of, like, why didn't Quentin Tarantino make it? Like Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, does it have that kind of a feel to it?
Well, it's a lot. It's definitely fun, and he does cross genres a lot. At one time, there were these orcs, these Lord of the Ring type orcs in this film. Wow. There are these iRobot type of robots in this film. There's a huge dragon sequence in this movie.
Does Chase Whale come running around with a lollipop in a sailor outfit?
It would have been a perfect that sucker punch right there.
It would have not been out of place, is what you're saying.
I mean, this movie has really everything that a 14-year-old boy would love. I mean,
okay, now you brought that up. Let me ask you this: speaking as a guy who's pushing 40, how creepy am I going to feel watching this movie?
If you just, I don't want to say turn off your mind and visuals. I think this film deserves a little bit more credit than that. The story is actually pretty interesting. A girl trying to escape from a mental institution. It took a lot for me to get engaged in the story. And if you work at the engagement of the story, you're going to get something out of it. Again, I thought it was a very clever film and a very ambitious one. It just doesn't succeed like how something like Inception would succeed. It feels like a less smart and a less exciting Inception, but not to say that visually speaking, it's just breathtaking.
Okay. Deeper part of my question, I think you read too much into it. There's a lot of young girls in skimpy clothing in this movie.
Yes.
Correct.
That was one aspect I enjoyed.
Is that something that I'm going to feel really bad about? Am I going to feel really dirty when I watch this, but just enjoy it?
Only if you show up to the theater in a trench coat and just ogling and breathing heavily while watching this.
You know what?
People would think you were creepy.
Did you ever see the movie The Hot Chick with Rob Schneider?
Yes, I did.
People forget that this was one of the first movies that Rachel McAdams was in.
Mm-hmm.
One of her first films, and she was like young, relatively young in it, early 20s. She played a sorority chick because they switched, but he became her or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the movie, and in the theater I was watching the movie, there was a guy, and he was gray hair. Let's just put it this way. He wasn't Santa Claus or anything like that, but you could tell he was not 20. Unless he was like really prematurely gray. And he was behind me, and there's a scene where she's sitting in the bed, and she kind of rolls over, and you kind of see her underskirt kind of thing, and he's like, oh yeah,
oh man. I guess if you do that in the theater while watching Sucker Punch, then yes, people will think you're creepy.
Okay,
but he's a lot of fun. I feel it's pretty harmless fun. It's march, and this is pretty much the perfect spring release in my opinion.
What about kids? Like, I mean, what's too young for this? I mean, can you go do a double feature of Diary of a Wimpy Kid and Sucker Punch?
I would say no. I mean, it's PG-13, so I would go from 13, 14. You're a mature 12-year-old, you would enjoy this.
Mature 12-year-old, smoking a pipe with your hipster glasses, turtleneck.
But I don't think, like, the Diary of a Wimpy Kid crowd and the Sucker Punch crowd are mutually exclusive. I do think if you're 13, you're going to have a blast while watching this film.
Okay. All right. So what's your fat guy grade? Sucks, kind of sucks, rocks, kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks.
Not a full on rock though.
Again, the narrative is really hard to get into.
How long is it? I've heard some differing movie times.
It's 109 minutes.
Okay, so just under 2 hours. I'd heard somewhere that it was over 2 hours.
No, it's under 2 hours.
Yeah. I have a kind of a rule that a movie needs to have a very good reason to be over 2 hours, and the lot of them that are over 2 hours do not have a good reason.
It's under 2 hours, definitely. Okay. Well, he uses every minute of it.
Okay.
And stay for the stay for the credits.
Oh, so there's amazing. A little thingy in the credits.
Well, okay. There's an amazing sequence during the credits, which you should definitely stay.
Cool. All right. Well, we got to go to a break. That's it on Sucker Punch. We'll come back and talk box office.
10 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
All right, we are back, and we're in our infinite middle segment on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Well, the infamous, or the infinite one. It sounded like you said infinite. Did you say infinite middle segment?
I said infamous.
Oh, okay, so I was famous.
Kind of doing the Three Amigos.
So famous, it's infamous. I thought you said
more
infinite.
Than famous.
So yeah, I thought you said infinite middle segment, which the last couple episodes, one with Dr. Colobias and Gray Drake last week, you would have thought that the middle segment was the infinite middle segment because it was literally longer than the show normally is, because we're not on the radio in this segment, so we can take as long as we want or say whatever we want. You have anything you want to say? I always give the guest a chance to swear.
I say cocksucker?
No.
Oh, that's my favorite swear word of all time.
Of all time?
All time. Any movie uses that word, it's like, oh, yes.
Yes, especially the Disney movie, Cocksucker, that's coming out.
In 3D.
It's Pixar. You're like Kristen Wiig's character from Paul.
Yeah, that was a very enjoyable part of Paul, Kristen Wiig, when she started swearing up a storm.
Yeah, well, maybe not a storm. She swore up a couple dust clouds at times. She had to get her footing, I think.
But just putting swear words where you didn't think swear words could ever belong and making them kind of fit and work, I definitely found that amusing with Paul.
Yeah, yeah, definitely looking forward to some more of Kristen Wiig on TV. Is it Wiig? Do I say it wrong? Is it Wiig?
I think it's Wiig.
Wiig? I don't know. I haven't talked to her yet, so... I don't learn how to say anybody's name until I actually talk to them, which is why I don't learn to say anybody's name. Anyways, speaking of Paul, it did not win the box office.
I didn't think it would either.
Yeah.
This movie is definitely for a niche audience.
Well, you know what's so funny? And you and I were actually talking about this off the air. There seem to be a lot of original movies coming out this spring.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like Sucker Punch, Battle LA, Hannah coming up next week, I think, or 2 weeks from now. That's
well, and if you look at the top 10 from this week, the Adjustment Bureau, it's based on a PK Dick story. Mars Needs Moms based on a story, you know, and then like Red Riding Hood and Beastly are based on either a book or a story.
Yeah.
But they're not sequels and remakes at all. It's for as much as everyone complains that Hollywood's doing nothing but sequels and remakes, there's a whole lot of original films or
and for
original,
all the original
adaptations
films that are coming out. They don't like them or they don't give credit to, oh, at least it was original.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of why I like Sucker Punch a little bit more is I gave it that, well, it's a story that's not based on anything and it's an original vision. So I have to give that much credit to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's no big surprise that the interwebs are a little bit fickle. You could say. but I think you're right. I think that people, if you're going to complain because, you know, like this summer is going to be nothing but sequels and adaptations and remakes, let's give a little nod to the movies that are actually trying. And you know, movies like Limitless. Limitless won the weekend with $18.9 million. You know, good for it because it's a unique movie. It's different. You haven't seen it before. It's not a remake. It's not a sequel. And in fact, I think it goes to a trend. I've seen a lot of movies this spring, not a lot, you know, a handful of them, but more than you normally get that are actually what I would consider good sort of speculative fiction, sci-fi Twilight Zone kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Like coming up next week, we have Source Code.
Source Code? Yeah, Source Code's a great movie. And it is something you would have seen on an old Twilight Zone episode. Limitless is like that. The Adjustment Bureau, I thought, was surprisingly neat sci-fi sort of that speculative realm. But you also have stuff like Mars Needs Moms and Rango and even Beastly, as awful as Beastly was, or Paul. These movies that are... They have their foot in the genre market. You think of the summer as the big genre time, but you know there's very few. If you look at that top 10 list, there's what? The Lincoln Lawyer is like the only sort of quote unquote down to earth movie.
Yeah, and I think it's based on a book. I don't think it's of the same name, but I think it is the book. Is he like Lincoln's old lawyer? I could see this film.
Well, what's funny is they never explain it, and you kind of have to think about it when you watch it, and then you're like going, oh, that's why. He plays a lawyer who really doesn't have an office. He just drives around in a town car and has a driver. So his office is this Lincoln. That's what, at least what I'm getting out of it, because I'm like, well, he's driving a Lincoln. That's the only time that you even see the word Lincoln. You know, he's not like running around handing out $5 bills and pennies.
Is it important to the plot that he is a Lincoln lawyer?
It has no bearing whatsoever.
Is it part of his personality that he keeps bringing up, I love my car?
I mean, it's not even like Marge Needs Moms, or like, that's what the movie's about. Marge Needs Moms. Boom, there you go. There's your log line. The Lincoln lawyer. No, it has no bearing on it. And even then, and it's funny, if you watch the trailer for The Lincoln Lawyer, they talk a little bit about how he doesn't have an office in the trailer. None of that's in the movie. It's one of those trailers that they cut before they got the final cut of the movie.
Well, kind of my like prerequisite of liking a movie is if it lives up to the title of the movie. Oh, like okay. The King's Speech. There was a speech given by the king.
At the end, it all led up completely to that.
127 hours. There was exactly 127 hours this person was trapped. So it lives up to that title. Battle Los Angeles. There, in fact, was a battle in Los Angeles.
True Grit. You had somebody telling stories out of the magazine Grit.
But so just Lincoln Lawyer really has nothing to do. It could have been named anything.
So like when you saw Justin Bieber, Never Say Never, you got really pissed off that they said never like 10 times in that movie. They're supposed to never say it. What happened?
I don't know if I will lose my film critic cred, but I actually kind of enjoy Justin Bieber, Never Say Never.
Really? You know, I know it's funny. I've heard that. I've heard that a lot about people giving props to the Beeb for what he did.
I mean, I knew nothing of the kid. I only knew that people hated him for some reason. Never heard a song. The kid's talented. You know, he's like 14, 15 years old, 16 years old.
He's 16 or 17.
Talented kid. This film, this movie was great in 3D. John Chu, who directed Step Up 3D, is actually one of these filmmakers that understands 3D. And Michel Gondry, I love Michel Gondry, doesn't understand 3D, which we can see in The Green Hornet. But it's just surprising to me, like this filmmaker who makes movies like Step Up, the Step Up movies, understands 3D as much as Cameron.
The three Step Up movies are kind of, for what they are, the Step Up movies ain't bad.
Yeah, I love Step Up 3D.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing with Justin Bieber. I have not seen it. I don't listen to Justin Bieber. I don't care about Justin Bieber. But I do find it, funny the hate that he incurs. It's sort of like the hate that Hannah Montana gets. Because people are like, Hannah, oh my, it's just so stupid. It's for the lowest common denominators, these stupid pop songs. Exactly. It's Radio Disney for like 13-year-old girls. They are not looking for Beethoven. You said that you can sit a 13-year-old girl down, play Beethoven, she'd be like, whatever, dad. Let me watch Hannah Montana. And it was sort of like, we talked about this on the show last week. You're familiar with the epic music video on the internet by
Rebecca.
By Rebecca.
Of course.
Black.
I do this for a living. I'm for a living. So of course I know about that, the Friday video, which is amazing, by the way.
You know, it's funny because I've become obsessed with it, and to put it in perspective, it has more views on it on the YouTube video. It has more views than people are on Skype at any given time.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's like 45 million at this point, literally like 45 million. And what I find so fascinating, because the whole thing fascinates me, I have nothing against Rebecca Black. I mean, she's a cute girl. She's, you know, she's just trying to do this. I mean, it's not like she's not doing anything subversive. I think the ARC Music Factory is a bit smarmy, what they do. But, you know, good for her. She did this, and, you know, it's a cute movie. And my kids, like, sit around singing. And I have a 2-year-old walks around like, Friday, Friday.
I mean, it's Radio Disney. Really, I mean, it's definitely for that type of audience, and it's not made for adults or teenagers, you know.
I find it more funny listening to the people just rage about it. Because people are so upset at the video. And I'm just like, why? Why are you? And you get people like, and then you got like these like teenage kids, you know, with the braces and the Justin Bieber hair going, well, it's so stupid because you're using auto-tune all the time. and it's just really stupid lyrics and shit. And I'm like, wow, take a shower and brush that peanut butter jelly sandwich out of your braces.
You nerd. I mean, it's harmless, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just think it's funny seeing people rage. And that's the same thing about Justin Bieber. People rage about Justin Bieber and like, why? Just don't watch him. Don't, you know, it's not made for some 30-year-old guy in his mom's basement writing about stuff on the internet.
Now that's harmful.
What I just said? Or
the 30-year-old guy living in his mom's basement on the internet. That's harmful. Yeah. Justin Bieber, Rebecca Black, harmless.
Exactly. So yeah, last weekend we had Limitless Win, which was a Limitless One. The weekend did pretty well, and then it was kind of this like $2 million horse race between Rango, Battle Los Angeles, Lincoln Lawyer, and Paul. And they came in that order.
I'm glad that Rango is still in the top five, like a month after it's been released, that people are still seeing this movie.
Yeah, I think it had to. It was what I think it's going to be. A lot of times the animated films that'll come out in the spring, because How to Train Your Dragon did this last year. It entered with like 20, 30 million. It didn't have a huge weekend, but there are certain movies that will just continue to make their money. Tron Legacy actually did this. Tron Legacy made like $40-some million its opening weekend, ended up clocking in at over $170 million. I mean, it like made, you know, four times what it did its opening weekend, which is not uncommon for a movie to make like twice what it did its opening weekend if it falls fast.
Well, I think with Rango, it's not based on anything. I mean, I think people are just seeing it because of, well, Johnny Depp, obviously, and good word of mouth. And that gets me excited when movies like this are quote unquote winning at the box office.
Yeah. Yeah. And it should crack to $100 million this weekend, which will be good. Because now I think, is it the top grossing movie of 2011? Because for the longest time, The Green Hornet was the highest grossing movie of 2011. And I'm just waiting for that Green Hornet was eclipsed by Just Go With It. It's the highest grossing movie of the year, which makes me want to shoot somebody in the face. But hopefully Rango will snap that up in the next week. So, what do you think is going to win this weekend?
Probably Sucker Punch.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot, you know, it's what I said before, it's made for teenagers and early 20s, and that's definitely the big demographic, and it's the big movie coming out this week. I'm going to say Sucker Punch at $25 million.
Oh, you're going high on that. I'm hearing ranges of high teens, maybe low 20s.
I think because it's, you know, just under 2 hours, they can have more screenings of it. And, you know, Zack Snyder, he does pretty well. I mean, Watchmen made a lot of money its opening weekend.
Well, I think that's because people are expecting Watchmen to be I had people when I did radio interviews saying, "Oh, is that kind of like The Incredibles?" I'm like, no, it's nothing like The Incredibles. Do not take your 5-year-old to go see Watchmen.
It was just attempted.
Like,
rape.
Well, they didn't actually rape her. Is that okay?
Oh.
Just a little bit of just a hint of just the tip. did I say that? Oh, I'm sorry. I think that what's interesting is I'm actually checking online here. I'm curious. There are theaters on like movietickets.com. It's listing Sucker Punch as a 3D movie. I don't think it's playing in 3D. In my town, I don't know if it's for some reason it's listed as 3D. I don't think it's being released in 3D. Rango felt the same way. It felt like a 3D movie in certain scenes. It looks like they put those in and they just decided not to release it in 3D. I've been a huge proponent of 3D for years, but I think what you're going to see happen, and you can let me know what you think of this. I think it's not that people are rejecting 3D. It's just, it's no longer the novelty. So not everyone's going to go see any movie it's in the big movies. And for big event movies, it'll work. But when you're doing like a smaller release, especially if you're talking something like Piranha, I think people will go into a theater and they're like, well, I'll wait till it comes to the dollar theater if I got to pay $15 to see it. They'll pay, like, they'll go pay five or ten to see it, but to have to break a 10 or to pay 13 or 14, you can buy the DVD for that price.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of 3D. I watch anything in 3D. I love 3D movies, but I don't think like 3D would be, I mean, I would love to see something like that, like a movie like Win-Win in 3D. I just don't see the point in something like in that. But a movie like Sucker Punch, there's enough CGI in it where it would be, you know, it would be easy to convert it into 3D.
Yeah.
You know, something.
Well, obviously there were plans.
How much cost in New York?
How much is it to see a 3D movie in New York? $25?
If I went to see a 3D IMAX movie in New York, it would probably be like around $21, $22. That's a matinee, not an evening.
Oh, really? Is it more for, see, in Ohio, it's $14 or $15 to see a 3D or an IMAX movie. A lot of times they don't change the prices. But, so, I mean, I think people will go see them. I think people still want to see 3D, but when you get a smaller movie, that what you'll do is you're going to cut into your audience because people, they're not turned away by 3D. Don't get me wrong. People are not turned away by it actually being in 3D. They're turned away by higher ticket prices.
Oh, definitely. I mean, people.
That's, I think, what's happening.
People are always turned off by higher anything. Yeah. But, getting back to New York, in New York, there is no matinee. It's all the same price, like all the time, like $13 straight across the board. If you see a movie at noon or if you see it at 8 at night, it's going to be $13 flat.
Wow. I'm going to take my kids to see Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which is not in 3D, for the before 12 o'clock showing on Friday, $15 for all three of us to get them.
Wow.
Yeah, there's deals in Ohio.
I miss Ohio.
But I know, I think that, because it was about a little more than a year ago, it was after Alice in Wonderland cleaned up, that the studios were like, ooh, we can charge 50% more for 3D. Because before then, it was like a buck or two more.
Yeah.
Which I think people were okay with paying a buck or two more. I think people just aren't going to pay $5 more, which some places are charging $5 more or more if you're talking an IMAX 3D movie.
Yeah, because you have to pay the IMAX price as well.
Yeah, so I think you're going to see the it level out, and I think a $1 or $2 surcharge people will be okay with. It's the multi surcharge, because I actually saw people when I went and saw Piranha, I saw people not buy tickets, not because they went to go see Piranha, saw how expensive it was, and didn't go see it. If it was for $10 at a midnight show for Piranha, I think you totally would have had people going to see that. I think it actually takes money away from the smaller releases like Piranha or that awful My Soul to Take, just by giving it a $5. You say, not only are you going to see this crappy movie, but you're going to have to pay $5 more to go see it. I think it's actually hurting the prices. And I've talked to people who run theaters and they kind of concur. They say they have people not wanting to go see it because not because it's in 3D, but just they don't want to pay the extra money.
Well, it's turning mid-level films into event movies when they're not event movies, you know.
Yeah.
Something like Inception is an event movie, and if that was in 3D, I feel people would pay the extra $5 to see an event movie like Inception in 3D. Or,
oh yeah, and I think that's part of what hurts Mars Needs Moms. Mars Needs Mom. That's not Toy Story. It's not the Pixar release. It's not the big summer movie. Cars 2 is going to be in 3D. I think it's going to make it's going to make more because you're going to have people, they're going to be like, fine, I'll pay the extra $5 because my kids want to see it.
Yeah, that's an event movie, you know, where it's kind of warranted to pay that extra because it's one of those movies that you have to see.
Yeah. So, all right. I think Sucker Punch will win and Diary of a Wimpy Kid will come in second, but I don't know. You might see Limitless, depending on how well Diary of a Wimpy Kid performs, because that's kind of a video movie. That's kind of a wait till video kind of movie.
Uh-huh.
I could see Limitless come in number two.
Sucker Punch one, Limitless two. I think Battle Los Angeles might stick in there into the top five. I think Rango is going to definitely stick into the top five again.
Yeah, Lincoln Lawyer might get a bump, but I don't know. I don't know how strong the word of mouth is.
Movies like, sad to say, something like Paul is going to
sink like a stone.
Oh, yeah.
It floated like a stone. Now it's going to sink like a stone, as cute as it was.
Yeah, that's going to go down, sadly. It's a pretty good movie.
Let's move on to the Fat Guy Five. This is five films geared towards 14-year-old boys. This is in honor of Sucker Punch, with all the, they're all over 18 in the actresses, aren't they? I'm really concerned about this because I don't want to get arrested when I see this movie.
I believe they're all in their early 20s.
Okay, Emily Browning's I think the youngest one.
Yeah, I mean Vanessa. How do you pronounce her last name?
Vanessa Hudgens. I've seen her naked already, so it's not a big deal.
Who hasn't? Yeah, exactly. You know, it's the whole what was she in? High School Musical, you know, yeah. And what was the band movie that she was in?
Band Slam.
And Beastly. She was in Beastly from 2 weeks ago.
Wow, I'm amazed that you know the entire Vanessa Hudgens filmography. I've got that tattooed onto my arm with a check mark after each movie.
Well, she was my favorite part of Sucker Punch.
Really? She's like barely in the trailers.
For when she's on screen and she actually has a pretty amazing fight sequence in the middle of the movie, I really fell in love with her character Blondie. And her name's Blondie and she's not blonde. It makes you wonder why.
See?
Blondie.
And I've seen naked pictures of her.
My friend actually commented because she's blonde down there.
Yes. This is why I'm obsessing with how young these girls look in the movie. Although Jenna Malone does not look young in the movie. She kind of looks old and white trashy. At least from the trailers. But they had that shot of Carla Gugino.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks really old. And I know she's like 40. But she looks fantastic normally. And then you watch this movie and like next to Emily Browning, she looks like she's 55.
Well, she doesn't look as old as she did in Watchmen.
Well, yeah. But she almost got raped in that movie. No. So.
But I think Emily Browning in this, you know, they made her look way younger. I mean, her name in this is Baby Doll. She has like this, you know, fragile porcelain skin throughout the whole movie. And, you know, it's really the schoolgirl playfulness to her as well in this film.
Yeah. Sorry, I just got distracted there. I'm sitting there thinking about this. All right, I gotta go clean my trench coat. Anyways, films geared towards 14-year-old boys. I'll let you do the first one there on the list, which is the.
The series of films came out. The last one in 2009. It's kind of how I actually met you, Kevin Carr. The Transformers series or franchise. The last movie being Transformers 2: Revenge of the Fallen. Being one of the worst movies, actually the worst movie I saw of 2009. But it was also the highest grossing movie of 2009 because a lot of 14-year-old boys, a lot of teenagers saw this film and loved
it. Well, Avatar. I mean, even though it made most of its money in 2010, Avatar was the highest
that's right.
in 2009. Avatar saved us from having Transformers 2 being the highest grossing movie of the year.
But it grossed like $600 million during the summer. I mean, that's a ridiculous amount for this really, really bad movie.
Yeah. I think it was 420 some. It was over 400 million. It's one of the few movies that made over 400 million.
It's
a ridiculous amount of money. So, yeah. And then we did a podcast on that somewhere.
Oh, yeah. And it was just like a lot of, you know, Michael Bay in a sandbox playing with Transformers, clanking them together. And that's basically what the whole movie was.
And we got the third one coming out this summer.
Which, oh, man, it seems like a lot of people are really optimistic for, you know, not learning that the past two movies were pretty bad. Like having this glimmer of hope, maybe this one's going to be good.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. First of all, it's not going to make $400 million.
I think it's going to be in 3D.
It is in 3D. Yeah. I think, but here's the thing. It's a very crowded summer. One of the things that Transformers 2, the reason it did so well, partly, was because there was nothing before it and nothing after it that could compete.
Mm.
And all the stuff that was before it that should have been a competing film, like Land of the Lost, completely crashed and burned.
Oh, man. Totally forgot about that movie.
The only other thing that was up against it, there was the Ice Age movie, Dawn of the Dinosaurs, and then like everything else that was supposed to be a big event, summer event movie, just right around that time, just everything kind of got out of its way. by hook or by crook. I don't think you're going to get that this year. I think this is going to be a very crowded summer, and you're going to have, it's just going to be a nonstop summer of opening weekends and everything else dropping.
Well, the week Transformers Dark of the Moon is the new title.
It makes no sense.
Maybe it's the name of the Transformer. His name is Moon or something, but the week this comes out, there's nothing that comes out the next week or the week after that. The next big release is Harry Potter Deathly Hallows Part 2 and Captain America the week after that. So I think there's like 2 weeks here or 3 weeks here that Transformers could make some.
Yeah, but what comes out before it? Like right before
Cars 2 and Green Lantern.
Yeah. I think it's going to be fighting Green Lantern a little bit and Cars 2. And plus the thing, I think that there's a spillover. I think that it could make $400 million, sure, but I think that people are kind of like, if you look historically, at least domestic box office, the third movie does not do as well as the other two.
Yeah. Well, except Lord of the Rings, I think is the.
Okay, maybe.
But I think the big movie for this summer, I know this is not the subject, but the biggest grossing movie of the summer is going to be Super 8.
Really? You think that?
Just because it's getting so much buzz already. If it's any good, people are going to see it week after week after week.
Well, we'll see. Definitely be worth seeing. I think the biggest release of the summer is going to be Piranha Triple D. That's, you heard it now. You heard it first.
Oh, man. Can't wait for that. I wonder if they will definitely capitalize on that double D.
They certainly capitalized on it in the first movie. If there are not 3D tits in that movie, I will be pissed off. I will throw down my 3D glasses and storm out of the film and say, I want to see tits.
I mean, it's what I was saying earlier. It has to live up to the title, you know?
Exactly. You'd be like, well, you know what? It's kind of like, I don't know what I'm saying. I couldn't even think of, there are movies that should capitalize on it, like American Pie 2, which didn't. You know, you expect to see a lot of TNA in a movie, and then if they don't, you know, or like the movie, do you ever see Bitch Slap?
No, I remember that though from last year. Was that last year?
Yeah. It was last year, and it was like it's like exploitative hot chick movie, and no one's naked in it. I'm like, what the? And this girl, one of the girls that's in it, is totally naked in the Friday the 13th movie, or the movie. I see. Here I am. I'm going off. This is my boob excursion at this point. But movie like, did you see Miss March?
Oh, no, I did not.
Which, well, you're a better person for it. It's not a good movie, but it has breasts in it, but the story's about a girl who becomes a Playboy playmate, and she's not naked in the movie. And I actually had a chance to interview the directors, and I'm like, why wasn't she naked? And they're kind of like, well, it wasn't on the table. She wasn't going to do it anyways. I'm like, she plays a Playboy playmate. You just needed to get a hot chick. She doesn't act well in it anyway. So it's not like they go, well, we got Natalie Portman, and, you know, she's not going to do nudity for us, but we want Natalie Portman. And you're like, no, it's some nobody girl you've never seen since.
Yeah, and it's in the title, Miss March. It's Playboy. Get naked. Yeah.
I feel strongly about those sort of things. Speaking of jigglies, the next one on the list is DOA, Dead or Alive. No one even remembers this movie, but it came out right at the beginning of the time when we started doing Fat Guys. So it was about 4 years ago. It stars Jamie Presley and who's that Asian chick from?
Devin Aoki?
Yes. She's in it, I think. And a couple of people, I have no idea who they are, but they're pretty girls and they're like in bikinis and short skirts doing martial arts. And that's all I care about.
And samurai swords in this as well.
Yeah. And it was a PG-13 movie, but it was basically 13-year-old pornography.
Yeah. The movie poster of this movie kind of looks like the movie poster for Sucker Punch, actually.
Yeah. They might be end up doing the same amount, but yeah, no. DOA was, it's a stupid movie, but I mean, it's the kind of movie that kids, that like a 12-year-old would get and be like, oh, I'm being so naughty,
because he doesn't know better. There's stuff out there.
It's like, go to the internet.
Well, the next series of movies, I guess, on here, Star Wars, the whole Star Wars franchise. I mean, growing up, getting into Star Wars, growing up, you know, I loved the hell out of it. I had the bed sheets, I had the toys, I had the cereal. It was definitely marketed, you know, to boys like me, you know, having all the merchandising that goes along with it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I was five. I was actually younger. I hadn't had my birthday yet, but I was five when the first Star Wars came out. So I was perfect age. I watched everything. I remember watching the Star Wars Holiday Special live.
Oh man. Yeah.
And liking it. That's how young I was. Now you watch it and be like, wow, everyone was on cocaine at that time. It has Bea Arthur singing. Have you seen the Star Wars Holiday Special?
I see it at comic book conventions, you know, for sale. But
it's worth watching. It really is. It is so bad.
Well, how would you compare like that when those movies came out to the prequels, like in terms of merchandising and being directed towards, you know, teenagers?
Well, they're just totally geared towards kids, and not even teenagers. I mean, the prequels and the originals were geared towards not teenagers. They were actually geared towards younger kids as well. I mean, I was 12 when Return of the Jedi finally came out, and I was kind of, by that point, if you look at like my toy collection from a kid, tons of stuff from Star Wars, good amount of stuff from Empire Strikes Back, almost nothing from Return of the Jedi. So by the time you get to be about 12, you're done with action figures. You really are. So you're right. It is geared towards like 14-year-old boys in terms of what people want to see, but like the merchandising tends to even skew lower. I mean, Clone Wars, everyone, for as much as that movie got ripped apart in 2008, and now you've got the TV show that exists mostly under the radar, that stuff is merchandised out the wazoo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I got a 7-year-old. I know this sort of stuff.
You always have to buy more Star Wars action figures.
Every time you walk down the toy aisle, whatever the new thing is, you know, like a couple of years ago it was Transformers, and there's Bakugan, and there's suddenly all this Tron stuff this Christmas. And that stuff will come and go. Star Wars is always there, and it's been there since. I mean, there was this lull in the 80s and 90s where it wasn't there, but once they started making the prequels again, I don't think Star Wars stuff has left the toy aisle since 1999.
Oh, wow.
So Lucas is a smart man.
He's very rich.
He's extremely rich. The next one I want to say for in terms is definitely film geared towards 14-year-old boys would be The Goonies. This came out in 1985. I was actually 14 when it came out. And it, what's funny is, again, it's there's a sort of a thing where when you see a movie, whatever the age of the characters are in the movie, you're actually aiming for an audience a couple years younger. Goonies with kids that are like 12 or 14 is actually aiming for like 10-year-olds. And, you know, it like Diary of a Wimpy Kid, the kids are like in middle school, they're aiming for elementary school. For some reason, kids like to read stories about kids that are a little older than them. Sweet Valley High, you never had any girls reading that when they're in high school. They all read it when they were in junior high. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're that age, this is what it's going to be like, you know, when you do get to that age.
Yeah, because when you are that age, you're like, this is bullshit.
It's creating that expectation of this is what you're going to be like. This is what high school is going to be like when you're in high school. And it's definitely never the case.
Yeah. Yeah. So The Goonies, I think, was geared towards, I was just a little too young, a little too old for The Goonies. And I kind of come in and approach it from a different angle, whereas most people, especially people in the blogosphere, I mean, we're talking people who are 30 years old and younger, a lot of people who run these sites and that sort of thing. They either saw it in the theater when they were young, or they watched it on HBO when they were 10. And they love The Goonies. It can do no wrong. If you watch it now, you'd be like, well, it's kind of a stupid movie. But, I mean, it's fun. There's nothing against The Goonies, but it's not this brilliant piece of cinema. But unless you saw it for the first time at the right age.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I did love The Goonies, and it's a fantastic film, a great adventure. And arguably, they haven't made no movie since Goonies kind of captures that kind of magic and imagination like The Goonies. But watching it recently as an adult, watching it, it's not a very good movie at all.
It's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's actually kind of like borderline, this is really horrible, why do I like it? But just taking off the nostalgia glasses, I guess, I can understand why people love it, but I can also see a lot of people saying, oh, that's a horrible movie. They'd probably be right.
You want to hear me incur some wrath? The Goonies is to cinema for, you know, kids as the way that Justin Bieber and Rebecca Black are to 13-year-old kids. Really? And 12-year-old and 10-year-old kids listening to music.
Wow. So, like, back then, people hated Cyndi Lauper and that song as...
Well, no, no pun intended. She was good enough. let's do the last one. Do you want to do the last one?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know, still relevant today. They came out with a new movie a couple years ago, and I hear that they're making a remake of the classic comic book. That this is going to be, I guess, a more gritty Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like harkening back to the original comic book.
More gritty. So Raphael's hooked on heroin.
Well, I mean, when it first came out, it was pretty, you know, edgy and mean, but it slowly but surely turned into action figures, toys, a lot of wide-eyed cartoons. And that first movie that came out in 1989, I believe, was so gritty. I remember watching it in a theater, and they were swearing.
Really? It was that? Because they had a couple swear words in it? Is that?
Well, as a kid while watching it, I was like, I can't believe they're swearing in this.
You're like, I feel so naughty.
Like, they're swearing. That's wow. That's so cool. And only seeing them on TV in cartoon form, seeing them live action on the big screen, swearing, using their weapons, and just being as irreverent as they were on TV, was kind of cool for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see. I think part of the reason that the skewing things to make it edgier, I think, has a lot to do with trying to go after the original fans. Because when you're that age, if you were 9 or 10 watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a movie in 1989, being like, oh, that's really edgy. You look at it now I watch it now and I'm like, that's not edgy at all. That's as, you know, squeaky clean as it comes. But then when you're like 30, you're like, I want to see it as edgy as it was to me as a 9-year-old. And you're like, well, they just had to say, damn it, to make it really edgy. And now what do you think, Raphael is taking smack and Donatello's, you know, he's hooking in the trailer park.
Yeah, there's a violent rape scene and with April O'Neil.
Splinter gets raped.
But I think if they make that version, well, that's definitely edgy. Like Gaspar Noé's Teenage Mutant.
That would be awesome. That would be the one Gaspar Noé movie I'd like. It'd be like, it'd start in the turtle shell. And it'd be, and it'd be like, you'd see like the credits in the entrails, and then you'd shit out into the movie. That would be the opening.
Yes, and that would definitely alienate a lot of people.
Are you listening, Warner Brothers? You better make that movie.
Or Lars von Trier's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wow. Oh, wow. All right. I think we've successfully derailed that. We better take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do the DVD roundup. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the final segment. We had a little discussion. We actually talked about quite a few things there, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
Box office. Awful things that happened to the characters in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We also talked a little bit about 3D and price value and that sort of thing. And the fact that movies like Rango and Sucker Punch seem to be made for 3D but aren't being released in 3D. But now we're in the final segment. We're going to wrap you up here. And what are we looking at right now?
We're in the world famous DVD roundup. Hear that noise.
Just to hear that really awful sound effect. One of these days I'm going to pull out like a Lucasfilm generated whipping sound from vintage Raiders of the Lost Ark soundbite, and just the circus will light up with that one call of somebody going, well, that was different. And that's it. So do you have any DVDs or Blu-rays you kind of want to highlight this week at all?
Well, Skyline is coming out on DVD, I believe. And this is kind of fitting that, you know, Battle LA just came out a couple weeks ago. Now this movie's coming out on DVD. This probably should have came out on DVD the week of Battle LA coming out, but...
It was... Well, what's funny is I got sent the Blu-ray early enough that I saw my Battle Los Angeles screening and I came right home and watched Skyline.
They're the exact same movie.
They really are. It's just in one you have the Marines and the other one you have a rapper's posse.
One is like movie stars and the other is TV stars.
It is. I actually, there's a drinking game on Film School Rejects. If you go to Film School Rejects, you can check out my drinking games or search my name and it'll be up there for Skyline. And one of the things is if you can name, you take a drink anytime you can name a television show that one of the actors is. Be like Eric Balfour. He was in 24. You know, Donald Faison was in Scrubs. He was also in Felicity. You
know? He was also in Clueless.
With the TV show?
Yeah. Remember the TV show Clueless? He was.
I recall there was a TV show of Clueless. I've not.
It was everyone in the cast except Alicia Silverstone.
Is that sort of like My Big Fat Greek Wedding? And had everybody. The TV show had everyone but John Corbett.
Exactly.
Who's not really a movie star anyway, so I don't know why he got that distinction. Anything else you want to highlight?
The Tourist.
You're really going to throw that one out there?
The Golden Globe nominated The Tourist.
Wow. I suppose, since you're the guest host.
I was a big fan of the filmmaker's last film, The Lives of Others, which won
the Academy. The Lives of Others was a great movie.
Yeah, it won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film, 2006. Yeah. This is follow-up.
This is not a good movie. It's terrible. It was awful. And it made money, sadly, but it was just... It was one of these movies that you can tell what they did is they went to Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp and they said, hey, you want a vacation in Venice? You have to show up on set for these 10 days, though. And that's kind of how they made the movie. It's awful. It's a terrible movie. It was one of my top 10 worst movies of 2010.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But then again... Not everyone always agrees with me. So apparently the Hollywood Foreign Press didn't. I'm going to highlight two of them that I really liked was Yogi Bear. Believe it or not, was way better than The Tourist. Mainly because Yogi Bear, a lot of people, again, this is one that's sort of like in that Justin Bieber thing we were talking about earlier. People sit there and be like, oh, that's so stupid and awful. Well, it's Yogi Bear. It's a cartoon. It's for kids. And Justin Timberlake does a great boo-boo.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake is in this. Tom Cavanaugh, I think I pronounced his name. He's Ranger Smith.
He's the Ranger, and it has Anna Faris and her big flappy lips. It also has Dan Aykroyd as Yogi Bear, and he's not as good at Yogi Bear as Justin Timberlake is as boo-boo. But, hey, you know, I thought it was fun. My kids liked it. You can get it on 3D DVD, and it's like 90 minutes long. You're in and you're out. There's also Scarecrow and Mrs. King, in which Tron and Charlie, one of Charlie's Angels, are, you know, working with the CIA. Did you ever watch that show? Were you too young for that?
Charlie's Angels?
No. Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
I have no idea what that is.
It's basically Chuck, only with a housewife instead of a guy who works at a Best Buy.
Ah.
And it's about a housewife who somehow gets connected with the CIA operative, and they're always having her help out in missions. Was it the early, it was mid-80s? It was a cute show. I mean, it's a nice little romantic kind of movie. It would make it great. This is one that they really should, like, make into a movie. And, you know, that one that could star Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp would be way better than The Tourist. But season two of that is out. And there's also How Do You Know? Did you see this?
No, I did not. James L. Brooks, though.
That's right, James L. Brooks. This is my theory. Last year you had... How Do You Know and Love and Other Drugs, which were both basically romantic comedies, billed as romantic comedies, but by these really respected directors, Edward Zwick and James L. Brooks. And I think that hurt them because it was advertised as such a formulaic film that the fans of the directors didn't go see it. So I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen How Do You Know.
I mean, I'm a big fan of James L. Brooks, Broadcast News, one of my favorite movies.
As good as it gets.
Spanglish.
Well, I don't know about that. I did not see Spanglish, so I can't speak. I can't speak Spanglish. I was going to say my stinker was The Tourist, but you took that as one of your picks. Shame on you.
Well, it's just to highlight that filmmaker. Everyone will watch The Lives of Others.
Hopefully you will, because it's way better than The Tourist.
And I cannot pronounce his name at all, so I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, it was Von Dammerschmark or something like that.
Something like that. Something really Germany.
Yeah, very German guy. The review wrap-up, we had Sucker Punch, You Said Kinda Rocks, and I didn't see Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules. Neither of us saw. Next week, we're going to talk about Hop, Insidious, which I hear are basically the same movie, and Source Code. Rudy Obias, thank you for coming on and talking to us. Check out Gordon the Whale for his work.
No problem.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.